We were living in Minnesota. We're coming up on our 12th anniversary here, so we're talking about a bunch of years ago, but we were living in Minnesota some years back, and one day I went into a local bakery that was downtown. The family owning the bakery was somewhat similar to the Hernandezes, as I say their last name. Now I get Lisa to turn her head, in that the wife there in that bakery was a local gal, and the husband was a Latino immigrant. So this bakery had a small area toward the front of it where you could sit down and enjoy the things that were made, that were baked, right? But that day, as I went into the bakery, as I went in seated at the table, were actually kids that were the owner's kids. And I just thought, you know, I would go up and greet them. The daughter, I think, was maybe around third grade age. The son, I think, was maybe first grade age. So I approached them smiling, and I'm just, you know, going to greet them and to be nice. And so I say, "How are you?" And then I noticed that the older sister was looking at the younger brother's hand. And so with this emotional intensity, the first grader responds to me, "I hurt my finger and I'm having a hard day, okay?" I just kind of backed away. Okay. He was in pain. He was in physical pain. And he was letting me know that. Earlier this year, I met an adult from outside of our area. As I talked to this young adult in his 20s, he had suffered abuse as he was a small boy. He had been abandoned essentially by both of his parents, eventually was raised during his teen years as a grandparent, by a grandparent. You can imagine the psychological and soulful pain that he was in. Well, this morning, as we continue on in our series on what the Bible says about, we're going to spend some time thinking about what the Bible says about those hurting. We're first going to touch on those who are hurting, and then after that, in the second part, we'll look at responses to our hurt. So we're going to begin here with those who are hurting. Simple question to ask, who hurts? 2 Chronicles chapter 6, it has Solomon's prayer as the temple is being dedicated. Kind of interesting to think about the context. In the midst of the temple being dedicated, part of Solomon's prayer says this. Talking to God, Solomon says, "Then one of your people, an Israelite, will pray or cry for help. Each person knows his own trouble and pain. He will spread his arms out facing this temple. When that happens, he says to God, 'Listen from heaven.'" It's in the International Children's Bible. Each person has their own trouble and pain. True? Okay. Each person has their own trouble and pain. It doesn't matter how young you are. It doesn't matter how old you are. We have all experienced pain and hurt. Theologically, we would say that experiencing pain and hurt is connected with the fall of mankind. It was because of falling into temptation and then into sin. And it's because of mankind's capacity to sin that we basically also experience pain and hurt. Not all pain is the same. We know that that's true. But I think every one of us that's here this morning, every one of us that's going to end up even hearing this recording, we have experienced physical pain, like we talked about with that little boy and worse, but we have also experienced this soulful, spiritual pain as well. And for some of us, because I know the story of some of you, for some of us, it's a daily thing that we deal with pain. So we should never look at a person. We should never look at any other person and say, "Oh, their life is so good. They don't experience pain," because that would be wrong. I've often said to people in conversation, understand that when you look at anybody, everybody's dealing with something. And when I say that, most people agree with that. Everyone has experienced pain or is experienced pain, but not everybody necessarily shows it. Look at this interesting proverb. Who hurts everyone? Here's the proverb, Proverbs 14. Even in laughter, the heart may be in pain. So people may be able to mask it. They may be able to mask the pain that they're going through. Perhaps they're even able to cope with the hurt and the pain that they're going through. But there can be laughter on the outside and all the while still have this pain and hurt on the inside. So who is it that causes hurt? We would certainly say that scripturally we can hurt one another. We may not be aware of it. We may hurt people unintentionally. And if someone doesn't tell us, I think often we don't know it. We can't often necessarily tell. There was a time some years ago where somebody came to me and they made it very clear that I had hurt them. And they were referencing something that was like a year and a half, 2 years prior to that conversation with me. That's how long that they had been carrying that. But before they said something to me, I seriously had no idea. I had no idea that I had even hurt them. So there is that unintentional pain that we can cause. But if we're going to be honest, we know that there are moments when we know perfectly well what we're saying, that what we're doing in those moments are hurting somebody, and the hurt is intentional. In Psalm 40, verse 14, David says that there were some who even delighted in the pain that they were causing. In this life, there are people who can take, in a sense, a perverse pleasure in causing other people's pain. So whether the pain is intentional or unintentional, we can hurt one another. Agreed? I don't think it's a surprise for us to look at the next one where it's we can hurt ourselves. Scripture indicates that we can also hurt ourselves as well. We can cause our own pain. From Ecclesiastes 6:13 is this verse. He says, I have seen a grievous evil under the sun, wealth hoarded to the harm of its owner. You know, when you think about the idea of hoarding, there are reality shows that maybe some of us have seen. And you see what goes on in that person's life. And you can easily see where the idea of hoarding can bring damage and pain upon themselves. But that's not the only way, right? That's not the only way that we can bring pain to ourselves. I have often been honest with people and said, you know, as I think about the stuff that I go through, the difficulties or the pains in the course of a day, I have to admit that in many ways, I am the maker of my own problems. If I'm going to be honest about that, I bring a lot of that on myself. So the decisions that we make, the habits that we form, this is why there even exists an expression like self-destructive tendencies. Because we know that that's true. And so Paul even would say in Romans chapter 7, I am doing the very thing that I hate. So this is a battle for us. We have to battle self-destructiveness. So who causes hurt? There's a final category. We can cause it to one another. We can cause it to ourselves. But there's a final category, if we're going to be totally honest, we have to deal with one other category. And this category is difficult for some people because we would say that God can as well. Sometimes God can cause our pain. Now, there are times when he allows it. And this is in the case of Job, where he allows Job to be attacked, or he can directly cause it. And that appears to be the case in Psalm 51. Psalm 51 is reflecting David's prayer after he has sinned with Bathsheba. There's all sorts of levels of sin that are there. But in that prayer, in verse 8, he says to the Lord, oh, give me back my joy again. You have broken me. Now let me rejoice. The difference, though, between the hurt that we would cause each other versus the hurt that God causes is that God always has a good intention. He's always trying to get our attention. He's always trying to wake us up about something. He has a good intention when he causes pain. And even in that very same psalm, later David is going to say this, God, you will not reject a heart that is broken and sorry for sin. This is going to lead us to our second point of the morning, which is responses then to our hurt. I want to say this as plainly as I can, the general answer when it comes to our hurt and our pain that we experience. God's rescue is the answer when we are in pain. Okay, God's rescue is the answer when we are in pain. Psalm 69, verse 29 in the New Living Translation says, "I am suffering and in pain. Rescue me, O God, by your saving power." When we are hurting, when we are in pain, God wants to rescue us. He wants to show us his mighty power. I'm going to show you the same truth, essentially the same truth, but it's in a little bit of a different way. So this is what the Messiah says about himself via prophecy, well known from Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Messiah says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners." In other words, Jesus the Messiah brings good news, healing, and freedom. Amen? God's rescue is the answer to our pain. He provides that rescue in Jesus Christ. So in response to our pain, the Lord Jesus can bring good news, healing, and freedom. So that is a very positive truth to share with anyone. Jesus can bring these things into your life. Receiving that truth into a person's life is the response that God desires for us. But it's each person's choice. So the reality is, God wants that to be our response, but he gives us a chance to choose otherwise. That's sad but true, right? He lets us choose. Check out what 2 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 22 says. "Now in the time of his distress, this same King Ahaz became yet more unfaithful to the Lord." So when we are hurting, when we are distressed, we can either choose to go toward the Lord or we can choose to push the Lord away. He gives us that choice. In Jeremiah 6:14, the Lord is speaking about Israel and the sad state that Israel was in, referring to Israel's religious leaders. God says, "They have healed the brokenness of my people superficially, saying, 'Peace, peace,' but there is no peace." So if we listen to the wrong sources, sources that don't draw upon God's truth, like those Israelites, brokenness that we feel, it can seem to have a healing, but it's superficial, it's surface. It won't go deep where it's intended to go, where it needs to go. So what should be our response then? When we have pain, when we have hurt, what should be our response? So that we get that good news, so that we get this true healing, so that we get real freedom. In other words, the genuine rescue that God wants. I'm going to give some suggestions out of Scripture. The first one is cry out to the Lord, be genuine in our emotion. So if you look at the Psalms have plenty of evidence of this, of people being very real, very honest with their emotion with God. And I know that not everybody is comfortable with doing this in front of others, showing this real emotion. So that's fine. Not everybody is made that way. If you need to do it in private, then, you know, do it in private. But God has created us in his image, and I think part of that corresponds to how we feel. It includes our emotions. But I want you to listen to one caveat, all right? So we're saying be genuine in our emotion, but I want to give one caveat to that I hope that you'll receive. Don't let that emotion descend into disrespect. In many ways, when you look at the book of Job started out okay. I think he starts out okay in how he deals with his situation. He is in major pain with all the loss that he has suffered, and so he starts to deal with it okay, but eventually he gets into disrespecting the Lord. And the Lord has to take him to task on that toward the end of the book of Job. Be careful not to get to a point with your pain that you get so frustrated or don't get instigated by those that are around you. I think if you look at Job, that's what happened. I think that the reason that he ends up getting disrespectful to God is that he was instigated to do so almost as a reaction to other people. So cry out to the Lord, but don't disrespect him while doing it. In Jeremiah 15, just to show you the honesty of the Bible, which I think is an awesome thing, he gets so frustrated with God that he tells God, "Why has my pain been perpetual, my wound incurable, refusing to be healed?" He says to God, "Will you indeed be to me like a deceptive stream with water that is unreliable?" So the Lord had to correct Jeremiah for that attitude. So cry out and be real with your emotion, but don't diss God in the midst of it. That's number one. Number two, we can ask God for justice, but don't be vengeful. 1 Peter 3:9. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you are called, so that you may inherit a blessing. That's in the New International Version. So sometimes in our pain, we want to personally take action so that we get back at somebody, get back at those who hurt us. In addition to that verse from 1 Peter 3:9, we also have this from Romans 12, verse 19. Never take your own vengeance, says the Apostle Paul, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Rather than vengeance, a healthy response to our hurt is number three, be a bit introspective in the midst of your hurt and pain. Look inside yourself. David shows us a very healthy place to get to, even in the midst of being very honest with God and crying out in his pain. In Psalm 139, David does indeed call out for justice against those who are doing wrong to him. But notice what he says. Even though it's other people that have done wrong to him, even though he's calling out for justice, notice what he says in verse 24 of that psalm. And see if there be any hurtful way in me. So people have these two basic choices when they're experiencing pain and hurt. This is going to sound kind of dumb because they're so simple, but you can either, one, let God heal it, or two, you can choose to not let God heal it. And they have very different consequences, very different results. With my own eyes, I've seen people who legitimately are in pain, physical, soulful, spiritual. They're legitimately in pain, but instead of letting God heal it, they end up out of that pain, inflicting pain on other people. And maybe you've seen that too. Here's some last ideas from the Bible of what we should do in response to our pain. Number four, choose to worship, choose to trust. So Psalm 59 recounts how in the midst of a death threat being on his head and how in the midst of his distress, David chose to worship. Worship takes the focus off of ourselves. Worship can greatly help us in the midst of our hurt. Number five, choose to be encouraged. A lot of people know the beginning of Philippians 2. It starts off with all these ifs. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, and the grammar means, therefore, if there is, and there is, it's the kind of if that means, and there is, so we could translate that as since there is. Therefore, since there is encouragement in Christ, since there is consolation of love, since there is fellowship of the Spirit, since there is affection and compassion, and it goes on from there. God has provided those things to his children supernaturally For those who are believers in Jesus Christ, he has provided the things that Philippians 2 starts to talk about. So in the midst of our hurt, we may not feel the things that the beginning of Philippians 2 is talking about, but in time, we will be able to because we already have them. God has already put those supernaturally in us. Romans 15:5. Be encouraged because this verse says that God is the one who gives perseverance. God is the one who gives us encouragement. And then the last one that we're going to mention this morning is number 6, have hope. Now we're going to go over two kind of longish verses, but I think it's going to be worth it. So this is from John chapter 16, verses 21 and 22. Jesus says, whenever a woman is in labor, she has pain because her hour has come. But when she gives birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish because of the joy that a child has been born into the world. Therefore, you too have grief now, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and no one will take your joy away from you. Can you see that? Hope in something future can help us in dealing with pain and hurt in the present. When we think about having hope, you can also think about the end of the book of Revelation. Revelation, the new heaven and the new earth. Revelation 21, verse 4, it says that when it comes time for the new heaven and the new earth, that there will be no pain. Amen? So those should be our responses to the hurt that we are experiencing. I want to share just at the end here two basic responses, just thinking about if we see others that are in pain, if we see others that are experiencing hurt. When we see non-Christians, how do you deal with that? How do you deal with trying? Because, you know, some may not be willing to necessarily listen to Scripture. Certainly you can speak scriptural truth into their life, especially that it's through Jesus Christ who provides God's rescue. But another general one that I think you could get is from Matthew chapter 9. So this is where toward the end of the chapter, Matthew is conveying how Jesus saw that there were many people in need. And as a result, it says Jesus felt compassion. And this is harder for some of us than others, but this should be our general response too. If we see a non-Christian that's suffering, that maybe doesn't have those spiritual resources in Christ, we should have compassion when it looks like someone is hurting. In the context, by the way, of that verse in Matthew 9, do you know what Jesus' compassionate response was? Like the very next thing that it says that is out of his mouth as a result of seeing people in anguish and distressed and feeling compassion for them? That's where he says to them, to his disciples, beseech the Lord to send workers into his harvest. Why? Because God's rescue is the answer. God's rescue is the answer to the distress and to the pain that they're feeling. What about when we see other Christians that are hurting? I think that we can apply well-known words from 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you're also doing. So encouraging other believers in the midst of that and helping to make them spiritually stronger, these are great ways to help if you can see that there are others that are hurting. I think if you were to look throughout all the Bible, Old and New Testament, that you can see that there are many verses that speak to this idea of pain and hurt. Now, given the fact that God is the one who has inspired the Scriptures and what was to be written, what does that say about God? That there are so many verses that talk about pain and hurt. It's that he knows us as our maker. He knows us. He knows our struggles. He knows what we're going through. Here's our main point for this morning. Without exception, all of us experience pain in life. God's desire for us is to respond in faith in trust in him till the day when all pain will be gone. Without exception, everybody has experienced and is in the midst of experiencing that. But praise the Lord, the day is coming when there will be no more pain. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, sometimes I think about if this were a Sunday school class or a small group and not a sermon, if people had a chance to just openly share, wow, we could really open up about all these things, about pain that others have caused us throughout our life, maybe even right now, pain that we have caused ourselves, troubles that we have made for ourselves where we're hurting, but really it's because of something that we chose. And in all this, Father God, we understand that you have desires for us, things that we're to hold on to as far as truths. But really, it comes down to the fact that you want to provide our rescue. And the same word for rescue is the same word for to being saved, for salvation. You don't just want us to pray a prayer and then consider ourselves saved. You want to show yourself again and again to be our Savior, our rescuer, even from all the pain and the hurt that we deal with on a regular basis. And so I pray, Father God, that we'll open up our hearts even a little bit more today to give you that place. And as your Spirit speaks to us, we will receive the rescue and the healing from hurts and from pains that we have all suffered. And we understand, Father, that that's always going to be there as long as there is sin in the world, that a time is coming when all that's going to be swept away. But till that time, Lord, may we grab and seize upon this for ourselves, that you offer this to us if we're willing to receive it. And I pray, Father, you'll also, as we see other people that are in pain, especially those that don't know Christ, that we'll be led to share these truths with them, to say that there really is an answer in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep perfect track of all that we're going through, and things will be set right. If others have hurt us, if there's justice, a need for that, you're going to set it all right. The Lord Jesus will come back, and that'll begin that process. But then just being with you forever, that we'll be able to enjoy that. Until then, Lord, give us hearts of compassion for those that are hurting. Help us to recognize that, even if we've caused it to others, Lord. Open our eyes to that. And if there are believers that are going through that, Lord, to just seek to encourage them and to do what we can to help build them up so that we can all endure together. We thank you for these things, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.